Welcome to Gardening Naturally with Jeff Ferris. Call or text Jeff now with your gardening and landscape questions, 512-836-0590.
Hey, good morning, gardeners. Welcome to Gardening Naturally. Gonna get some rain today. Now, some of us may only get like half an inch, but some of us, they're projecting 3 to 5 inches. Now, when you get that much rain in 12 hours, that's flash flood city. That could be very damaging. Now, it's supposed to happen at night. There's pro and con there. Most of us aren't driving around at 11 o'clock at night. So traffic should be reduced, right? Except it's harder to see water on the road in the dark. So we have that risk. Turn around, don't drown. Be prepared for this kind of rain. We really, really need that rain. And unfortunately, it's not going to be falling in the best of locations. But again, it's raining. We'll take every drop we can get. Cannot emphasize enough. I planted some bulbs yesterday. And I planted them in a flower bed that right now has had nothing but mulch on it for quite a while. I raked off the mulch, and there was soil underneath. Now, it wasn't there when I originally planted the flower bed. It was pretty much rocky, but there was actual soil underneath it, and it was decently moist. It wasn't a mud bath. It was damp. It had good texture to the soil, too. So, cannot emphasize enough. Check your mulch. Make sure that you have a good layer of it and that it's there before it rains. Let that mulch soak up some of that water, control how fast it soaks into the soil, and keeps it there. That's really the key to good soil, to have good retained moisture when it needs it. It's also cheaper for you if you have proper mulch. When it rains, that means you're not running your sprinklers. 1 inch of rain with the temperatures we've been getting, they've been more than reasonable. This has been some really good gardening weather. But 1 inch of rain with these weather conditions means you can turn your sprinkler system off for a week. Seriously, that means you're not paying for water. Let nature pay for the water. Let it provide it for you. Your trick is to try to keep it there as long as you can. And nothing does that better than a good layer of mulch. And remember, what kind of mulch you use does not matter. If you want really light brown, or you want a reddish mulch, or you're looking for the darkest mulch you can get, great. Mulch is the important thing, not the color of it. Mulch needs to be there. And with this rain coming later today, probably, this gives you an opportunity to go out and check. Is there any place that I need to top off the mulch? Is there any place that I need a little more? Before the rain gets here, you can look that up. Now, speaking of planting bulbs, I planted schoolhouse lilies a year ago. And I did the little triangle pattern and thought that they'd be fine. And they were beautiful. Surprised me how they bloomed. It's almost like they talked to each other, and it was like, no, you go first. And then that one would bloom, and another one would go, can I go now? And they each flower individually bloomed. I had to move them this year. I have to. I wanted to move them this year. So I dug up the bulbs. Now, I remember planting, if I'm lucky, 2 dozen bulbs. Maybe not that many. But when I dug them up, I have a 5-gallon bucket full of bulbs. Yeah, it's like, you talk about multiply. I have a zillion bulbs right now, and they are doing really, really well. Looking forward to them, hoping that they'll look good, and they should. They should. I just have run out of places to plant them. I want to plant these flowers in a way that I get to see them through the window. I don't want to have to walk around the house or stand in a certain location to see them coming up. And man, I don't know where to plant all these bulbs. So that's the advantage of a naturalized Texas bulb. Let's go to the phone. This is Amy. Amy, what can I help you with?
Hi, good morning. I had two questions. One was about compost. So I live in Buda, and we have clay. We don't have soil. And I tore up about 45 inches from my fence of grass. And I did it really like it was, you know, 1835. I went a hoe after it and then a pitchfork, and I turned up the soil. And then I added a compost soil mix from like a landscaping place near us in Buda. I was wondering, because I planted all my plants, I planted my flowers and my vegetables in there, and I used potting soil to plant them. If I really like the Happy Frog compost from Natural Gardener. I like to lay it over my trees and like my front gardening bed. If I add that to the vegetable garden that I've already composted and added soil, like, can you over compost an area, or would it be okay? Because I like how it looks. Like, I don't use mulch, but I like how that compost looks on top. But I don't know if I'm going to over compost my plants.
You will only start to worry about that is, let's say you've got a really good compost and it is more than 50% of the soil you're using. Your plants will probably still grow in there fine, but your wallet is going to be like, yo, what are you doing here? And half is kind of like a max. And I'm pretty sure that if you're applying it to the soil that's already there, you're not going to reach that 50-50 mark.
Okay, yeah, because I have so much clay. Like, I'm just kind of fighting, you know, big chunks of dirt, if you would, and then rocks.
Yep. Welcome to Texas.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. My other quick question is, I have a mulberry tree, and it's gotten really tall on top where the top branch is kind of hanging over from the fruit. And this is the first year it's produced fruit. I've only had it for 2 years. It's so tall, I can't put a stake at it. So should I just chop that top part off or just let it hang until the fruit falls? What would be a suggestion for that?
You can always stake a tree. You don't have to stake it all the way to the top. You can stake it as high as you can to keep it growing in the direction you want. Can you trim off that branch? Yes, you can, and the tree will still grow. So either or, stake it so it's nice and firm, or reach up there and cut off that one branch so that you're not going to snap the tree.
Yeah, the trunk seems to be really strong. It's not leaning with the branch, but it's, of course, like the main branch in the middle of the tree that's, you know, just hanging over, because on top it's like a little thin one, but the trunk itself isn't leaning.
Trim it if you wish. We don't normally recommend topping a tree, which is what you're talking about, but you can trim that off of there to help control the growth of the tree and the spreading of the limbs, things like that. Mulberries are really pretty resilient. You got to kind of work to get rid of them. So go ahead and top it if you want.
Okay, thank you so much. I was really excited when it put on some fruit. They're the smallest little berries ever, but, you know.
They're very tasty, and every bird in 20 miles is going to find your tree.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too, Amy. Thanks for the call. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. You know, I talk about it a lot. I have a bluebird house. And we have successfully raised bluebird clutches. We hadn't been paying a lot of attention this year. We knew there were babies in there. We had three little babies. But it looks like they fledged out before we got to take good pictures of them and stuff like that. And that's a good thing, because yesterday we noticed there was something sticking out of the bluebird house. Okay. And we're watching carefully. Well, it's a rat snake. He was about the better part of, 4 foot long. And he had crawled into the bluebird house, even though we have spikes around it to prevent snakes from doing that. He apparently wasn't bothered by them. And then we watch him. He's hanging, crawls right down the post, and crawls away somewhere. Fortunately, it seems that the babies have fledged just days before this snake got in there. We don't think we lost any babies to it, and we still see the parents flying around, but it was a little unnerving. Of all the snakes, rat snakes are good guys, unless you're a bird, especially if you're bird egg. But we thought we had got it figured out to keep the snakes out of the nest. Apparently, we don't have it figured out, and we're going to have to do something about it. Nobody's in the nest now, but it was quite unnerving to watch this 4-foot-long snake come out of this little bluebird house. He wasn't too big around, otherwise he couldn't get in the bluebird house. And he wandered off. I wasn't going to chase him. Rat snakes are beneficial. They can be a little unnerving. You might even argue terrifying. I've had a rat snake hanging out of a tree. Was about a 8-footer hanging out of a tree at my front door. Yeah, that was not something I was prepared for. But they are beneficial. They get rid of rats, mice, things like that. So that was quite the shocker. And it was sheer luck on the timing. We figured that the birds fledged and left about 2 days before this guy showed up. Sheer luck. But we're happy about it. We also have to get with it. to put better protection up there, because that just can't happen. I lost a clutch or two of Purple Martins to a snake, got new snake guards that stopped that right away. Speaking of Purple Martins, I have four Purple Martin houses on the top of my pole. They're the metal ones. They are not the white gourds. Those four Purple Martin houses, three of them have nests in them now. We've been wondering, you know, are they ever going to build a nest? I pulled it down the other day to chase out a sparrow, took his nest out and threw it away, made him start over again. He hates me when I do that. But the other three houses all had the start of Purple Martin nests. I couldn't see any eggs in them yet, but I'm sure it won't be long before they'll be there. So hopefully we'll have a nice clutch of Purple Martins this year. The weather has been just fantastic for them. And we've moved it closer to the house so we can enjoy and watch what's going on. They particularly have a call. The chortle, they call it, of Purple Martins is just really fun to listen to. Hoping for babies. Hoping for lots of babies. They'll have between 5 and 7 eggs in a clutch. So technically that means could have 15 to 21 babies here soon, or eggs anyway, and hopefully they'll all make it. Hopefully they'll be just fine and they'll be able to continue on. Now, we're going to probably get pounded pretty good with the rain. Probably going to get hammered. And we need every drop we can get. Every single drop. So be ready for it. Check your mulch. Check your plants. See if you get a lot of rain and you see it running off your property, figure out where it's going. Because you can make simple changes on the property to get that water and redirect it. Used to have water almost flood an exterior building I had. A shovel and 15 minutes worth of work, and I put in a berm that redirected all the water. So when it rains now, I don't get it all over that building. It goes around it rather than sending all this mud to it and making me have to dig it out every year. Be ready for the rain. We're going to appreciate it. Hopefully that May is going to be the wet month it normally is, so that we can start catching up and filling up the lakes. Margaret, I see you there. Can you hang on? I got a break at the bottom of the hour for the news, and I will catch everybody on the other side.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's see. Let's go to the phone. This is Margaret. Margaret, what can I help you with?
Morning. I have many, many beggar's life plants that are in bloom, and before they disperse their thousands of seeds, can I just snip the the top part for now and bag it so that I don't get that spread of plants?
Yes, ma'am. I had quite an infection of them too, and that was the thing. I didn't even bag them. The minute they started to bloom, I just mowed them.
Okay, so if that seed head drops to the ground and the sun comes up and dries that bloom out, then I will not get the burst from that bloom?
I didn't. The first year I cut them back. The next year I had nowhere near as many.
Okay, that's wonderful. Great. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks for the call, Margaret.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, folks, the beggar's lice is a pain. The sooner you get to it, do not let it bloom. You start to see any white, time to cut it back, because that's going to make those little seeds that are going to stick to everything. And if you can cut them back, run over them with a mower and a bagger. Go out there and trim them and throw them in a bag yourself. Getting rid of the seed head will help prevent them from coming up the next year. You will greatly reduce your pain if you can get to them early enough. That's also true with bed straw, that sticky plant that you go to grab with your gloves on and it sticks to your gloves and it's green and everywhere. The sooner you remove that when you find it, the less of it you will have the next year. And that stuff comes up really easy. You just run a rake and you're going to have bunches of it. So early attention will reduce subsequent seasons of trouble. So the minute you see it, get on it. Let's go to the phone. This is Dan. Dan, what can I help you with?
Oh, hey, Jeff. How are you?
Doing good?
Good. Hey, all right, so we're down at Man Shack. We've got or had four planters, you call them boxes, I guess, raised garden beds. Each one's probably 8 feet by 12 feet. And one of them was constant shade, so never really grew anything the last 3-4 years. So I expanded the chicken coop, so we're going to move that one. And I've been digging up the dirt. The kids and I have transferred all the dirt out of that one into the other three. But in the process, like the last couple of days, I've been finding grub worm after grub worm after grub worm after grub worm, big ones. And, of course, the chickens are happy about it because they love them. But I feel like I've transferred a ton of grubs to my good garden beds. And I don't know if, like, have I shot myself in the foot because the other three, we grow huge tomato plants, bell peppers, everything, cucumbers, you name it. But should I spray something before? We haven't planted yet. We haven't put any plants in the ground. We're getting a late start, I know. But is there something chicken-friendly just in case they do get in there? We usually put netting up around the gardens to keep them out, but I'm worried about these grubs eating our plants.
Okay, first off, you said you're getting, really big ones, as in if you picked one up and put it on a quarter, would it fit inside the quarter or would it be bigger than that?
Bigger than the quarter. I mean, they're rolled up. They're about the size of a quarter, big, fat, white ones.
Okay. You need to search so you can see a picture of them. Rhinoceros beetle grub.
Okay.
The little grubs are June bugs.
Right.
the really big grubs are actually beneficial. They love good soil. They will be in compost piles. And they're rhinoceros beetles, which are beneficial and don't hurt you. So let's make sure, if you've got rhinoceros beetles, don't do a thing. They're not going to eat your plants. If you got other beetles, if you've got the June bug beetles, you can put down beneficial nematodes. Good time to do it. There's good temperatures. There's plenty of moisture in the soil. They crawl into the grub and eat it and kill it. It's great beneficial. You can find beneficial nematodes at most of your local nursery. Not big box stores, at a local independent nursery. They won't hurt kids. They will not hurt your chickens. Okay. And they will hurt the grubs.
Okay.
But make sure what kind of grub it is.
Okay. Well, we'll be doing some more digging this weekend. So I'll take a picture and we'll do some Googling.
Yep. That'll tell you whether it's helpful or harmful.
Awesome. Man, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Dan. Yeah, folks. Generally speaking, if you have the normal June bug grubs, you would pick one up and you put it on a quarter, it will just about fill that quarter up. If you have rhinoceros beetle bugs, they will kind of creep you out. They are so big, they will cover a 50-cent piece, maybe more. They are beneficial. They are not going to attack your plants. The little grubs, beneficial nematodes, are effective at getting rid of them. And the beneficial nematodes need moisture in the soil. Hey, thanks for all that rain. And the temperatures are about perfect for them to do their job. The beneficial nematodes will not harm your garden, your pets, your kids, your chickens, all of those things. The nematodes aren't going to do anything bad to them. They're just going to go after those grubs. Let's go to the phone. This is Albert. Albert, what can I help you with?
Hi, Jeff. I live on the west side of Georgetown, and there are native plants in our area. They grow into very large bushes. They have a bark very similar to a crepe myrtle type of bark. And I've got one that's probably about 7 feet tall, been there a long time, and it last year about a third of the branches didn't get any leaves on it, and now this year maybe only about 25% of them have leaves, so something's happening to it. I put some compost under it, but I don't know what else to do for it.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm not exactly sure what kind of bush it is. Does it flower?
Just tiny, very tiny ones. Nothing showy at all.
Got it. There's a disease called, there are diseases that attack the branches, and they'll cause what's called tip dieback. If that's what you're getting, cut out the dead the minute you see it to see if that doesn't encourage new growth to replace the bad ones that have died. If it doesn't, even with compost and stuff, you may be losing the plant. And I can't tell you just in our conversation what exactly is causing that, but that is one thing. You can remove tip dieback. on a dead branch, try to cut it as close to the ground as you can to remove it, and let the existing branches go. See what happens. If it doesn't recover, say by the middle of May, you don't see new growth by the middle of May, you may be losing that plant. But you need to find out what's going on there first. So do the cutback and see if that doesn't help.
Okay.
Albert, I got to take a break here. Thank you for the call. Folks, we'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is Bob. Bob, what can I help you with?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I have 15 potato plants that are up. About half of them have beautiful white flowers. I was reading online about harvesting potatoes, and the author of that article was suggesting I should remove those flowers because they really weren't helping anything, and the energy that the plant was expending on the flowers would be better spent on developing the potatoes. Do you have a thought about whether I should remove those flowers?
Well, I understand what they're trying to do, but I don't think it's that much of a difference on a potato. Most people wait for the bloom, which is really a good indicator telling you, hey, you may be able to dig that plant up now. It may have produced its potatoes. Most of the time, people will leave them until the plant above the ground just looks terrible. I mean, looks like it's all worn out and not doing well and things like that. That is usually a sign that it has done all it can to produce those tubers. Do you want to pull them? Go ahead. I don't know. I have never considered that to be worth the effort.
And you use the word tuber. Is that synonymous with the word potato?
Yeah, potatoes are tubers.
All right. Whatever a tuber is, a potato is a tuber.
Yeah.
All right. Increasing our vocabulary today. I'm growing tubers.
Yes. I hate to make you crazy, but sweet potatoes are also considered tubers when they're growing in the ground. It's a
too much knowledge for me on a Saturday. Too much.
Oh, I totally get that. Some mornings it's like potato. That's the worst I'll do. Okay.
I understand. Thanks for the help. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Folks, potatoes are growing under the ground. The flowers can be taking energy to grow the flower, but is it taking that much energy away from the actual potato? Unless somebody did a real study where they had like 50 potato plants and half of them they pulled the flowers off and the other half they left, I don't know. In a lot of cases, it can be beneficial to remove excess flowers, just like we would remove excess fruit on a fruit tree by thinning it. You could produce larger and better quality fruit that way. I don't know if it applies. I don't know if it really applies to potatoes. But you can try. You're not going to hurt the plant by taking out the flower. It's still going to make potatoes. So, up to you. And You know, if you've ever listened to my show, you know that I don't spend labor on things that really don't give me a benefit. You can, if you wish, but unless I'm confident that my work is increasing to a goal, leave them. They'll be fine. It's kind of like people who talk about tomatoes. Do you remove the branches, the extra branches that are on them? Nope. Every branch that can produce a tomato, I let it go. Does just fine. I don't have to go out there and break off all these or cut off all these extra little shoots that are coming up. Usually between a leaf branch and the stem, you get those little ones showing up. Some people go crazy. Oh, you got to remove those. Okay, go ahead. I have enough problems keeping my tomatoes inside the cage. I have trouble getting out there every day to pull the tomato back into the cage. I'm surely not going to go out there and cut those shoots off. You can. Go for it. But I just never understood the extra work for very questionable gain. Let's go to the phone. This is Joe. Joe, what can I help you with?
Yes, good morning. I have three quick questions for you. Number one, I have raised beds, and I put down newspaper to hold the moisture in, and then I put mulch on top of that. When I lifted up the newspaper, I have an inordinate amount of roly-polies. Are they detrimental to the garden? If they are, how can I get rid of them?
They love moisture, and you provided them with an environment.
I know.
And, well, no, that's good. You still did a good thing. Can you get rid of them? Yes. There is a product called Sluggo Plus. It is a slug bait, but it also has an ingredient in it, spinosad, that will kill the roly-polies. And it's a bait. Okay. They'll want to go and eat it. It's safe to use. It's simple. You sprinkle it on the ground around them, and they will come to it, and you'll kill the roly-polies.
Excellent. Also, I have a tree growing in on my property. I believe it's called a Texas persimmon, and
yes,
it shoots out these little tons of fruit that are edible, and I've been eating them. And can you tell me a little bit about that tree?
Yeah, it's a really good wildlife tree, obviously, because it produces that fruit. It is a strong tree, drought tolerant, and I think it requires a mate. Somewhere
you've
got somebody pollinating it. If you're getting good fruit, congratulations. It is a true Texas native that does very, very well here, even in our bad weather.
Yeah, it does require a mate because I see some with fruit, some without fruit.
Yeah.
And the fruit contains quite a bit of seeds that I guess just, you know, I mean, I can't pick enough of these. There's so many of them I got. So they just fall and I guess they produce other trees. So, I love those. Those are really good. And another question, my peach trees last year, I had an invasive passion vine go crazy and I couldn't keep up with it. And it grew up into the peach trees and the surrounding trees. And now this year, my peach trees came back, but they didn't flower. And I've lost a lot of branches that I see just with nothing on them. Do I cut those back? Is there any hope for those peach trees?
Maybe. Peach trees are not incredibly long-lived. You can cut off the bad branches. show. I'm sorry. I got a break for the news. Thanks for the call, folks. We'll catch you on the other side.